This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه أن أنذر قومك من قبل أن يأتيهم عذاب أليم. قال يا قوم إني لكم نذير مبين أن اعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون قال رب إني دعوت قومي ليلا ونهارا فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا وإني كلما دعوتهم لتغفر لهم جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم وأصروا واستكبروا استكبارا ثم إني دعوتهم جهارا ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إسرارا فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا وقد خلقكم أطوارا ألم تروا كيف خلق الله سبع سماوات طباقا وجعل القمر فيهن نورا وجعل الشمس سراجا والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا ثم يعيدكم فيها ويخرجكم إخراجا والله جعل لكم الأرض بساطا لتسلكوا منها سبلا فجاجا قال نوح رب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا ومكروا مكرا كبارا وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواعا ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا وقد أضلوا كثيرا ولا تزد الظالمين إلا ضلالا مما خطيئاتهم أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا فلم يجدوا لهم من دون الله أنصارا وقال نوح رب لا تذر على الأرض من الكافرين ديارا إنك إن تذرهم يضلوا عبادك ولا يلدوا إلا فاجرا كفارا رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات ولا تزد الظالمين إلا تبارا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek his assistance, and we seek his forgiveness, and we seek protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First things first, my dear brothers and sisters, we say subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrineen wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. We glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as this yacht begins to move, mashallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our journey safe, to take us out safely, and to return us back safely. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all able. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome to this cruise. It's difficult to word. This particular seminar, normally we in a stationary venue, so we have to choose our words appropriately, because things become robotic and automatic when you always introduce a talk or a lesson in a particular space and place. Today, alhamdulillah, we're actually on a moving vessel on top of water. We've come together to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way which is not considered normal. Inshallah, we'll get to that just now. So as we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our journey safe, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing us together to recite the Quran together and learn from the lessons in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a narration in Sahih Muslim narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله تعالى يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه فيما بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's no group of people that come together in a house from the houses of Allah to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to learn collectively and all together lessons from Allah's revelation, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts these people with four gifts. In this particular narration, four gifts. There are other narrations which cite for us other gifts that Allah gives to these gatherings known as majalis al-dhikr, these gatherings where people come together to learn from the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah gives this gathering with, number one, إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة. Allah causes contentment to befall this gathering. Allah causes contentment to befall this gathering. وغشيتهم الرحمة. And Allah causes this gathering to become engulfed by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, if we make dua in this gathering, we make a dua whilst being engulfed in the mercy of Allah. If we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this gathering, we observe this remembrance whilst being engulfed by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And we said earlier that today is Friday, and we're in the last moments of Friday. And this Friday, which is the best day in the week of a believer, right? It's the best day upon which the sun rises, as we find in another narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, also in Sahih Muslim, in the book of Hadith known as Sahih Muslim, a book that the scholars have said gathers the authentic narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, أَفْضَلُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ, that the best day upon which the sun rises is the day of Jumu'ah. So we are witnessing the closing moments of this day. And as one of the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this day is that Allah has given us an hour. in which if we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this hour, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that dua. Right? It's known as one of the special moments for dua. Right? So, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us, that Allah has given us or placed us in a gathering that entails being engulfed by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this special day. And as many of the scholars state, that this hour that we're discussing actually is the final hour on the day of Jumu'ah, or that period between Salat al-Asr and Salat al-Maghrib. Right? So this is known as the special hour. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this hour, in this special moment, on this special day. Indeed, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that from the gifts that Allah gives this gathering is that Allah causes contentment to befall us, causes us to be engulfed in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, that this gathering is one surrounded by angels. Subhanallah. Right? And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهِ, that this gathering is one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of. So proud of that he praises the people of this gathering to the angels. To those that are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises this gathering to the angels. Now, you know, brothers and sisters, we know that if a principal of a school singles out a student for special praise, then you cannot help but feel proud. The student feels proud. The parents of the child feel proud. It's a special day, right? Because something special happened. And if a president of a country, if we take it a step further, singles out a citizen for special praise, then again, this person feels extremely proud. They've been recognized by the highest authority of the land. Out of the millions of people that inhabit this land, this person has been singled out for special praise. Indeed, a person cannot help but feel proud. Now imagine if we talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of the Worlds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, singling out a person or a group of people from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for special praise. Imagine how proud this person or this group of people should feel. And I want you all to feel proud, brothers and sisters. Right? And don't feel proud in a way that makes you arrogant, but rather feel proud in a way that makes you more humble. But you say, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose me to be part of a program that entails me being signaled out for praise, right? Allah praises the people of this gathering. And as the scholars say, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِكَ خَيْرًا يُهَيِّئْ لَكَ الْأَسْبَابِ, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for you, then Allah inspires you to be part of a situation that entails you receiving the rewards that those people who are part of that particular situation receive. Right? So you're not here because, well, you know, I had nothing better to do and I chose to come. You're really here, my dear brothers and sisters, because Allah wanted you to be here. He wanted you to be part and parcel of a program that would entail you being part and parcel of these gifts that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cited for us in this hadith. Thus we should be humble and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase for us. Allahumma laka alhamd. كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا. We praise Allah with the most beautiful of praises. Indeed, Allah has inspired us to be part and parcel of a special gathering. Today, we will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on water, subhanallah, whilst learning about a prophet that when he is mentioned, alayhi salam, we always remember water. Subhanallah, earlier today, the weather changed suddenly, just after Jumu'ah, right? The dust storms came in, and the strong winds came in. And even whilst I was traveling here, you could see the haziness in the atmosphere, you could see the sand and dust being blown around. And I actually thought, subhanallah, I pray that inshallah, our boat ride is smooth, it's not too bouncy and not too wavy and people don't get seasick, right? And we know what happened to Nuh alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the skies and opened the grounds, and water flooded this earth, right? It's as if, you know, this earth was taken and dumped in a bucket of water. Subhanallah. And only those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered His mercy upon, they were saved. And those that were void of Allah's mercy, they were destroyed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all harm. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So, my dear brothers and sisters, just continuing with this hadith very quickly, somebody might ask and say, but the hadith says in a house from the houses of Allah, and we sitting on a vessel, on a boat, right? You said, no group of people come together in a house from the houses of Allah. So do we qualify to be part and parcel of the gifts that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cited in this hadith? Because we're sitting in a vessel, we're not sitting in a masjid. And the answer to that question is yes, we still qualify. Because our scholars rahmatullahi alayhim say that this citation in this hadith, in a house from the houses of Allah, is present because the norm in Medina was that lessons happened in the masjid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cited this citation depicting a norm in Medina. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said this to make these gifts exclusive to those who study in the masjid alone. Rather, the gifts of this hadith include and are inclusive of those that get together anyway for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learn from the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, our Shaykh, Shaykh Sa'ad al-Shibli, hafidhahullah, he says that even those who study online, nowadays we know we live in the age of technology and we have many online seminars, right? So we have groups that are virtually together, or they come together virtually. They're not together physically, but they are together virtually. Our Shaykh hafidhahullah says that these people who come together virtually, even on online programs, in virtual classrooms, they stand to benefit from this particular hadith and the gifts that are cited within this hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and make this gathering solely for His sake. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a group that is forgiven upon our departure. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a group that hears a good word and follows it as well. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. My dear brothers and sisters, since we are here to learn from the Quran in particular, and given this hadith that we just shared, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُ. He says that this group of people come together to recite the Qur'an. And mashallah, many of us were reciting the Qur'an before the vessel began to move. And whilst the vessel was moving, we recited some Qur'an. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ. That they collectively learn from the lessons of this book. Now, there's no secret that, you know, pondering and practicing tadabbur, pondering over the lessons in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have shared many of these lessons together, brothers and sisters, and once upon a time Allah brought us together to learn Surah Yusuf together, not on a boat, but on a more stationary, or in a more stationary venue. We discussed this concept of tadabbur in better detail, and we discussed how important it is in our life, and how it should be part and parcel of our journey with the Qur'an, and how some of the scholars have said that a person who does not practice tadabbur with the Qur'an and does not ponder over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this Qur'an, then they fall in the category of those who have neglected the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And we ask Allah to protect us from being in this category. Ameen. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He says, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّقَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Right? He complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, my people have taken this Qur'an as something abandoned. So we need to really look after the Qur'an in such a way that we do not fall into this complaint of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And the Qur'an is not something abandoned in our lives. Now Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentioned several ways that a person can abandon the Qur'an. And he says, rahimahullah, that one of the ways that a person abandons the Qur'an is when they avoid using this Qur'an as a cure. Because Allah has cited this Quran as a cure, right? A physical and spiritual cure, right? So many a time when we get sick, our focus is on, on medication and our visit to the hospitals and to the doctors and so on and so forth. And many a time we forget to recite the Qur'an and use the Qur'an as a means of our cure. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, those who do not use the Qur'an as a means of cure, they have abandoned the Qur'an. Or this is a form of abandonment. They may recite the Qur'an normally, right? They may listen to the Qur'an regularly. They may memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or portions therein. But with regards to taking the Qur'an as a cure, they have abandoned the Qur'an. And he says, rahimahullah, that from the means of abandoning the Qur'an is to avoid practicing tadabbur and pondering over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? They avoid pondering over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah today we're going to practice some deliberation. I know it's called, or it's been cited as tafsir of Surah Nuh. I prefer to call it a discussion of some insights from Surah Nuh. Because tafsir is a noble science. And tafsir requires time, not just an hour or 90 minutes or 2 hours, right? Especially a surah like Surah Nuh, it has 28 ayat in it, right? If we practice tafsir in a noble way, true to the meaning of the term, then indeed we need more time. We need more time. But we can call it tafsir from a linguistic perspective, min bab tajawuz, as the scholars say, right? We call it tafsir in that even in the few insights we will share, the meanings of the surah or clarity will be shared regarding the meanings of the surah. And this is what tafsir means linguistically, right? To shed some light on something whereby we understand it in a better way than before, right? So linguistically we can, but we will be sharing some insights. And this will be true to that, to tadabbur. But the point I want to make, brothers and sisters, is that we will be, insha'Allah, practicing tadabbur, and we ask Allah to make us diligent with the Qur'an. And also we will be practicing it together, collectively. This is the point. That tadabbur and pondering over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is important, individually. Right? But if we look in the Qur'an and the sunnah, we see a greater importance given to those who come together and collectively ponder over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sharia praises those who ponder over the meanings of the Quran on an individual level. But we find, such as in this hadith, or in other ayat in the Quran, for example, كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us collectively, that we should be all together, right, people of tarbiyah, people that are developed upon revelation and upon the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The instruction is to a people all together, right? So when we ponder over the Quran and the Sunnah, we see a special importance and a special instruction given to those who come together collectively to ponder over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because two minds are definitely better than one. And previously we said that pondering over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that everyone should do. And it's something that happens after tafsir. After you understand what the ayah says, then we ponder over the ayah. It's not something specifically for the scholars or something specific for the students of knowledge. No, we ponder over the Quran to the best of our ability. Right? And, you know, from a more simple perspective, we say that when we read the Quran, we should ponder over the ayah that we read by benchmarking ourselves against the ideal cited for us in the ayah. Right? This is a simple tadabbur. And this is something everyone should do. That we read an ayah and we ponder. How close are we to the directives of this ayah? How distant are we from the directives of this ayah? And what can we do to plug the gap? So that we become a moving Qur'an as well. Not just a person who recites the Qur'an, but a person that recites the Qur'an and the Qur'an is seen in his or her life. And Aisha radiallahu anha described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam basically as a moving Qur'an. كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Qur'an. He never just recited the Qur'an, but he embodied it. He acted the lessons of the Qur'an. Right? So when we talk about tadabbur, some people say how and why and when and so on and so forth. We say, look, that's a long discussion. But, you know, from a simple perspective, the Quran doesn't just engage minds, but it transforms hearts as well. When you read the Quran, how transformed is your heart? Does your character change? Does your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase? Does your iman increase? Right? This is what we need to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters. And this is being true to the actual recitation of the Quran. Because the objective of the Quran is what the scholars say, al-athar al-amali wal-iman. Right? They say that our actions become developed and our iman becomes developed. How many of us become developed after reciting the Quran? And when we look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, we see that they never recited more of the Quran until they embodied that which they had recited already. It became part and parcel of their life. And that's why their lives were so amazing and had so much substance and had so much barak. Because they were upon the way of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. They received revelation, they understood it, they digested it, they embodied it, they became part and parcel of it, and then they continued their journey. Now I'm not saying that we shouldn't continue reciting the Quran regularly and looking after our daily portions. We should. This is a relationship with the Quran that should exist. But we should also ensure that we have other relationships with the Quran, such as a relationship dedicated towards memorizing the Quran. Right? That relationship should exist. It might be a weekly recitation or a weekly relationship where we spend some time memorizing portions from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on top of our daily relationship of reciting the Quran regularly. We should have another relationship which entails us listening to the Quran. We take a reciter and we listen to this reciter reciting the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask from the companions, he would ask from them those who ask from them a recitation of the Quran, and he would listen to them. Right? We find many a narration. Right? In some narrations, he asked Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu to recite the Quran. And Ibn Mas'ud would feel shy and say, I should recite the Quran, and whilst the Quran was revealed to you, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would say, sometimes I like to listen to the revelation. So that should be a relationship that we have with the Quran, where we also listen to the Quran. But we should also have this important relationship, my dear brothers and sisters, and that is a relationship of tadabbur and pondering. And inshallah, what we will do today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, will formulate part and parcel of that relationship. So I'm sure it's time for Salatul Maghrib right now, I'm not too sure. I wanted to share just a brief introduction whilst we left the docks, and mashallah, now we are entering more wider waters, and we can see beautiful boats and buildings around us, mashallah, tabarakallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us in His obedience, ameen. And brothers and sisters, use what you see to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. That's what a believer does. A believer doesn't just see things, a believer witnesses things. What does this mean? It means that when a believer sees something, they witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which they see. So as you look around, don't forget to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.